The title of our service today is Give Glory to God for All His Benefits Towards Us. Brother Russell addresses you and I, and he writes to us in reprint 5594. I'm going to quote him for about a minute or so. He starts his letter to us. Here's what he says. Dear brethren, it is not enough to make a good consecration. It is not enough that for a time we fight a good fight. No, indeed. God is not accepting to the kingdom those who were once faithful. He desires to have those who were once faithful, who are afterwards faithful, who are always faithful. He desires to have in the kingdom class those whom he can trust implicitly, those to whom he can safely give the glory, honor, and immortality that he has promised to the faithful. And before they receive this high reward and exaltation, they must be thoroughly tested and proven. We see the reasonableness of this arrangement, he continues, in every particular. If he has called us to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, he expects us to be found worthy of that honor. Not that we could do anything to make ourselves worthy of so great exaltation, not that we could merit it in ourselves, but he expects us to be true overcomers and to develop the character necessary for so high a position of responsibility and glory. He continues, have you given God the glory in all the affairs of your life, in whatever measure of success you have attained in his service? Or have you often taken the glory to yourself? This is a good question for each one of the Lord's children to ask himself. He closes with, we know that we have deserved no glory whatever in connection with what we possess or what we have accomplished. If any have attempted to take glory to themselves, they have taken the glory from the Lord. End of quote. I would like to share 5 testimonies with you from your brethren and their reaction. Ask yourself, did these brethren give glory to themselves and their wisdom? Did they give glory to technology or give glory to God where it belongs? As a side note, I gave this service in Seattle, and afterwards many brethren came up to said and said, wow, all these experiences happened to you? No, these are experiences and testimonies from your brethren. But the names have been changed to protect the innocent. First testimony. A brother was walking in a hallway and overheard his name mentioned, so he stopped. He overheard 2 brethren speaking about him. The voices were coming from the other side of the wall. The brethren were telling each other the weak points of this brother and how if they exposed his weak points, they could harm him and gain power. I know your reaction. Think about our service yesterday. Not very spiritual and unbecoming of anyone, let alone brethren. The brother listened as they laid out their plan. What would you do in this experience? First, he prayed and thanked the Lord for the interceding. The brother felt the Lord provided him this knowledge for a positive work. He prayed for the brothers, Romans 15, 1-3. He learned to love the brothers more as they unraveled their 10-year plan. He never told the brothers about what he heard and never sought revenge. He gives credit to God for the revealment and is humbled to this day. He feels the Lord spared him for greater work and God told him where fiery darts may come from. This brother thanks the Lord for the overruling and gives glory to the Lord. On a humorous note, the brother wanted to thank the Lord for putting thin insulation in the walls, but he dare not do that because it was all the Lord. I think 2 Timothy 2:24 applies here. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, and patient when wronged. I hope that I could react in a similar manner. Another testimony. A brother started a business and it became large very quickly, so he brought aboard a trustworthy friend and business expert as a full partner to help with the fast-growing business. Unknown to the brother, his worldly business partner became unstable. This partner coerced the company lawyer to join forces to dethrone this brother as president and founder of his own company. The partner and lawyer secretly removed large sums of money from the bank and secretly went to court to report that brother lost his mind, he is mentally ill, and he should be ejected from his own company. Of course, he should receive no compensation, and of course, all the money should stay with the lawyer and the partner. In response to this, the brother was concerned about the employees and not very much else. He wanted everyone to remain employed. He wanted to add new company directors to break the stalemate between the two partners in order to save the jobs of 30 employees and then maybe move this towards a conclusion. The brother appointed his best worldly friend as one of the new directors, believing this friend would help his cause. The brother was in constant prayer. Some weeks later, the brother was sitting with other brethren, seeking guidance and strength. His cell phone rang. The brother said hello, but nobody replied. The brother could hear two people talking in the background, and this is what happened. The crooked business partner's cell phone accidentally pocket dialed the brother's cell phone. The brother could hear his business partner speaking with his best worldly friend, whom he just appointed as a director, and he listened to the two of them concoct a new plan to dethrone the brother and steal his monies. The brother turned on the speakerphone, and the brethren together listened to the evil plot unhatch for half an hour. They learned that in exchange for a sum of money, the brother's friend would vote against him and eject him again from his company. The brother was so humbled for this intercession, he praised God for the miracle as he perceived it and gives God the glory for sparing him. This was not an accident. Hebrews 4:16. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. Psalms 86:7, 8, and 12. In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. The Lord overruled, and the brother gives glory to the Lord. This is my testimony. 2 months prior to 9/11, remember, 2 months prior to 9/11, I was returning home from General Convention, and the airlines had me flying home over a two-day period while I needed to be home in 1 day for ecclesia duties. I phoned the airline daily during General Convention and was repeatedly told there are no flights to get you home in 1 day. They're sold out. There's no seats available. At the end of the week, the airline told me, could you please stop calling? So my trip home was this. It was Pittsburgh to Toronto, Toronto to Calgary, overnight in Calgary, and then the next day, Calgary to Kelowna Airport, my home city. Well, you know General Convention, if you've been. We were up late, and then I had to get up at 2 a.m. for my drive to Pittsburgh. My Pittsburgh departure flight was late, so I was late arriving into Toronto, which wasn't good because I only had 1 hour in Toronto between flights. I had to clear customs, and I ran full sprint through three terminals all the way to my gate. I arrived out of breath. I'm sure I was sweating, but you know, I had a huge smile on my face from attending General Convention. Because the lady who welcomed me at the gate was like, what are you smiling about? So I had no sleep, and I was never happier. Anyways, the super nice lady said, for someone who just did what you did, you sure are smiling. And I said, that's because I just came back from a Bible convention. She said, well, listen, your flight's delayed, but if you go next door, you can have a quick bite to eat, and I'll make sure you get on the flight. So I went next door, I ate fast, I squeezed in a quick phone call to my sister. That's still when you have to use the phone on the wall. And I found out where she was, and the nice lady got me on the flight. In the middle of the flight, the captain announced what time we would be landing into Kelowna Airport, my hometown. I remember that I was watching a movie, eating my served meal with the flight attendant's cart right at my seat. So I removed one earphone and I asked the couple next to me, "So where are we going?" And before they could answer, the flight attendant said, "Where do you think we're going?" I said, "Calgary?" She said, "Can I see your ticket?" I'm thinking, like, I'm tired. Like, you know what it's like. I'm tired. I had no sleep. I just ran. I'm thinking, why am I going to my hometown when we should be flying to Calgary? And I still have a hotel in Calgary. And I'm thinking, this is surreal. Anyways, the flight attendant took my ticket and passport to the cockpit. And suddenly, it became an extremely serious matter. The flight attendant returned and said, "The pilot will call authorities from the cockpit, and I am in serious trouble, and would possibly be arrested for stowaway once the plane landed in Kelowna, my hometown." She kept my ticket and passport. A few minutes later, air turbulence started. It was the greatest air turbulence Brother Arbor has ever experienced. All food services stopped. The pilot had his hands full. The plane became silent for the remainder of the flight. We were praying that the pilot would get all the passengers plus one stowaway home in one piece. Once we landed and clapped, and I think clapping is corny, but listen, once we landed and clapped, everyone arrived at the gate. No one was there to arrest me or even greet me. The only thing that did happen was the baggage counter apologized for not having my luggage and said they would deliver it to my house the next day. I understood better what happened when I flew Air Canada through Toronto the next year. The kiosk is in the middle of the departure gate for Calgary, which is on the left, and Kelowna, which is on the right. The airline allowed me to enter the wrong gate and the wrong plane, which happened to be going to my hometown, Kelowna. If you think about it, the flight could have been going anywhere. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear, who reverence him, and rescues them. We glorify God for this experience. New testimony. In the 1970s, a Canadian family was living in the United States. While returning to the United States from Canada, they were denied entry by border agents. They were told they must return the next day and see a particular agent to be interviewed and interrogated before entry would be considered. The Canadian family went to a motel and prayed diligently all through the night. The next day, they drove to the U.S. border crossing and got in the vehicle lineup. While in the lineup, they tried to pull out of the lineup and park to go inside to find the agent and be interviewed. As they pulled out of the lineup, they were scolded by agents and told to get back in the lineup. So they did. They got back in the vehicle lineup. As they pulled up to the booth, the agent was demanding. He asked, "Why are you Canadians driving a car with Massachusetts license plates?" The family said, "They're not Massachusetts license plates." And the agent said, "Yes, they are." And he became agitated and angry. The family pleaded that the plates were not from Massachusetts, and they went back and forth. The frustrated agent left his booth, walked to the front of the car, looked at the license plates again, shook his head in disbelief, got the cobwebs out, became embarrassed because they weren't Massachusetts license plate, came back to the window and instructed the family to enter the U.S. and carry on. Psalm 71:4. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. Last testimony. Brother Michael Nakora shared the World War II experience of brethren who were escaping Germany on a train. While traveling, the soldiers came into their train car to check everyone's papers. If the soldiers knew their true identity, it would or may spell certain death. The brethren prayed and quickly discussed if they should produce their papers and face death, or should they lie. After more prayer and searching their hearts, they all agreed that they would tell the truth and trust the Lord's outcome. They waited for the soldiers, who were finally at the seats behind them, when suddenly the train came to a stop at the next station. All the passengers, including the brethren, quickly got off the train, and they were spared by God. Psalms 31:2. Incline your ear to hear me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Brethren, our experiences don't need to be like these in order to give glory to the Lord, which He wants from you and I. Look for any reason to give God the glory. It keeps us pointed in His direction. Reminisce about the hand of God in your life and acknowledge your experiences are not accidental. They are God interceding for your benefit. It is a test to see if you will give God the glory today, tomorrow, during the 1,000-year kingdom, and in the ages to come.